Sleeping Arrangements by Mischief Mandied. Oh, you're home.
Happy Christmas, Mum.
George pulled his suitcase through the front door of the burrow as his mother came up to him and wrapped him in her arms. He dropped the bag down with a thump and returned the hug, placing a kiss atop his mother's head.
Happy Christmas, my boy. Now why don't you head upstairs, settle in, and wash up?
It had become a tradition, everyone returning home for the week of Christmas. Everyone was spread out across the world now with their careers. It gave their parents some ease of mind to have them return home once a year and have all of their children sleep under the same roof again. It was impressive at this point, the way the burrow seemed to expand for every family member added to the clock. As George's siblings got married and had children of their own, the burrow held them all together at Christmas time. As he was one of the geographically closer siblings, he was able to come by more often than Ginny or Charlie. The burrow didn't look too different since his last visit, except for the addition of the freshly cut pine tree in the living room, dressed in tinsel and lights and ornaments. The tree used to be something they decorated together, until 5 years ago when Charlie and Fred got too drunk as they worked and began wrestling over the sofas, beating each other with the cushions and knocking the tree over. The pine needles spread everywhere, and no Evanesco or Scourgify seemed to be powerful enough to get them out of the carpet and the knit blankets. The two spent the following week hand-picking each and every needle out. So, since then, their parents did the tree, and any roughhousing had to be taken outdoors. Their mother stopped caring if they hurt each other, as long as the tree was kept intact and they could heal everything afterward.
Am I the first one here?
No, Ginny and Cho came in last night. They had a rough week of practices, so they're still sleeping.
Ginny and Cho got together last spring. After Cho was transferred onto the Harpies, the two became closer and closer, until Ginny drunkenly confessed how she thought Cho was pretty at the end of the season victory party, thinking she was talking to Harry. It had not, in fact, been Harry, but rather a blushing Cho. George nodded in acknowledgement.
Fred and Lee are supposed to be by later today, and Ron and Hermione are coming before dinner. The term ended today, so Harry should be here after arriving at the station with the students.
George hadn't been sure if Harry would be coming this year. Sirius had invited him to accompany him on a ski trip in France. Last he'd heard, Harry had still planned on going. He climbed the stairs to his and Fred's childhood bedroom and laid on his bed. Sometimes it felt like he never left. George took in the scorch marks on the frame and the posters on the wall. Harry was coming. There went his plans for trying to get over the little crush he'd developed. Okay, it was a big crush. Fred and Lee teased him about it relentlessly. They'd always been close, especially following Harry's second year, when George drove the Anglia to Privet Drive. But the past year had changed things. After 5 years of being an Auror, Harry finally decided he was done fighting and quit the field. Minerva quickly sent him an offer to join the Hogwarts faculty as the Defense Against the Dark Arts professor, a role he'd been in ever since. It was good seeing the change in Harry. He was walking lighter, smiling more. George liked his smile. Ever since George moved to Hogsmeade to run the Weasley Wizard Wheezes shop there, which was a thinly veiled excuse for Fred and Lee to kick him out so they could have more privacy, Harry and George had seen each other more often in 1 year than he had in the previous 5. They got lunch any time Hogwarts students had a Hogsmeade visit, and Harry often stopped by the shop throughout the weeks, mostly to complain about how his students were using the Wheezes in class. It always ended in a laugh and with butterflies in George's stomach. And now he was going to be with him for several days straight. The burrow was loud. Over the past few hours, George's siblings, in-laws, and cousins filled the house, arms full of presents, booze, and food. He had hardly spoken to Harry since he'd first arrived. He'd been wrapped in a story Charlie was telling him about the Ukrainian Iron Belly who'd taken a liking to him when Harry had flewed in. George had been trying to listen diligently as Charlie spoke about the very irate dragon when he caught Harry's eye across the room. Harry had given him a small nod and a smile before making his way through the room, greeting the rest of the family. Harry spent the prior Christmas at Hogwarts, so the family seemed to be rather excited he was joining them this year. George was just about to go and say hello when his mother called them all to the table for dinner. Their father and Bill had magically enlarged the table to fit everybody, including the newest addition, little Dominique. He sat beside Fred and Lee on his left and Ginny on his right, and then he looked up. Harry was seated across from him.
"Hi," Harry mouthed.
George could only smile and mouth the greeting back as everyone began digging into the feast the Weasley matriarch had prepared. Anyone who had been to a Weasley family dinner knew that everyone fought for themselves for food and the central serving dishes, even though their mother always made more than enough for everyone to have seconds or thirds. George enthusiastically reached for his mum's turkey stuffing. However, someone had the same idea, and George's hand met another. He looked up, ready to wrestle the serving spoon out of one of his siblings' hands, only to find Harry's green eyes staring back at him.
"I'm sorry.
No, you go first.
Well, if neither of you are digging in, I will," Ginny's voice interrupted, taking the fallen spoon and scooping out a generous portion.
"A toast!"
George's father stood and rose to his feet once everyone's plates had been filled.
"To family!"
George looked around the room and smiled as his glass joined the others in the air.
"To family."
After more hours of games and drinking, unwrapping new sweaters from their mum, and stories by the tree, most of the family began to make their way towards their rooms for the night. First, Bill and Fleur with their little ones, followed by his mum and dad, Percy and Oliver, Ginny and Cho, and Charlie.
"I think it's time for us to head up, too,"
Fred said, helping Lee to his feet before patting Ron on the shoulder.
"Oh, George, did you hear about the new room assignments?"
"What?"
"Yeah."
Ron stepped in with Hermione, laughing beside him.
"It's not like Lee and Fred are going to sleep in separate rooms, so Harry's going to sleep in your room."
George's eyes widened.
"Wait."
"All right.
Good night.
Have fun."
Ron and Hermione quickly bolted up the stairs in a flood of giggles, while Fred and Lee simply apparated away, leaving George alone with Harry. Together. Harry shuffled the cards in his hands, and George was thankful for the dim lighting and hoped it was enough to cover the red that was surely covering his face. Maybe he could blame it on the drinks? Or the hair? Red hair, red cheeks, right?
"One more game?"
Harry asked, not even acknowledging the announcement of room changes.
"Sure,"
George tried to voice, with as much certainty as he could offer at that moment. Harry dealt the cards between the two of them.
"So, how'd the rest of the holiday rush go? Any more tumblings?"
Harry smirked in George's direction as he put his first card down.
"The poor kid had too many things in his hand. How was he supposed to see the giant, carefully stacked snack boxes display?"
"Maybe you should get mirrors on the ceilings," Harry teased. "Like fun houses." George gasped.
"What is a fun house, and why have you never taken me to one?"
"They have them at Muggle carnivals." He played another card. "We'll have to go together next time there's one nearby. I think you'd love them." George pondered the cards in his hand, trying to focus on beating Harry at the game rather than the speed at which his heart was beating.
"I'll hold you to that."
Harry laughed and threw down his next card. George watched him, and the way his eyes crinkled as he concentrated.
"I thought you weren't coming this year."
Harry shrugged.
"I changed my mind.
Are you upset that I came?" "What? No, no, not at all. I just thought that trip just seemed nice, that's all."
"Yeah, but this way I get to spend more time with you."
Harry looked up from his cards and stared right at George.
What?
"You heard me. You know, I thought I was supposed to be the oblivious one. I was hoping sometime this week I could finally get some time with you to talk. But then I saw Ron and Fred whispering in a corner and pointing at us, so I knew whatever they were going to come up with was only going to get more people involved. And as much as I appreciate their support, I'd rather figure us out together, and not with the entire family involved. I mean, that is, considering you do want there to be an us."
Harry hardly finished the final part of his question before George had thrown the remainder of his cards aside, pulled Harry in by the collar of his new jumper, and kissed him. Harry's lips froze mid-speech before melting into the kiss.
"It's about time,"
Harry whispered against George when they finally pulled apart. George just kissed him again, pushing Harry backward until he lay against the plush rug. cards now forgotten and scattered around them. Harry's legs wrapped around George's waist as the redhead kissed him deeper, his tongue pushing between their lips and tasting all he could of Harry. He needed to taste all of him. George's mouth moved down Harry's cheek and across his chin, kissing every inch of skin in his pass. Harry's legs tightened their grip around George's waist, and George could feel how hard Harry was as Harry moved his hips against him. George inhaled into Harry's neck as Harry ground his hips again, the thin pajama bottoms he wore doing nothing to hide how affected he was. George nibbled on the soft juncture of Harry's neck, causing Harry to curse under his breath.
"You like that?"
George's eyes widened as Harry flipped them around so he was now straddling him.
"Yes, I like everything you do."
Harry pulled off his jumper and threw it onto the armchair by the tree, leaving him in a simple white tank that displayed the array of muscles and scars.
"May I?"
he asked, as he played with the hem of George's sweater.
"Be my guest."
Harry slowly pulled the jumper off, a huge smile on his face, before leaning down to kiss George. George returned the kiss, deepening and pulling Harry against him.
"At least you like this, even if you don't like what I make."
"I do like what you make," Harry said, his bright green eyes finding George's.
"I thought you didn't like everything, considering the chaos it causes in your classroom."
"Hmm, I guess you're right. Maybe you should make it up to me another way," Harry smirked.
"Yeah?"
George asked, his hand gripping Harry's waist, his thumb slipping under the elastic and rubbing circles into the skin.
"Now, what might that be?"
He kissed his chin, feeling the gentle prickle of Harry's stubble. His hands moved down to Harry's thighs.
"George, touch me."
"I am touching you, Harry."
"Fuck, I hate you."
"I thought you were just saying you like everything about me."
"Well, almost everything."
Harry ground his hips into George.
"Don't tease. I need you."
George turned them around again, before pulling Harry's pants down just enough to reveal his hard cock. George's hand instantly wrapped around it and began stroking it at a slow pace.
"Is that better, love?"
"Fuck, George. Your whole family could hear."
"Then you better keep quiet."
George then took Harry's cock in his mouth, moaning at the feel and taste of him. His hand continued stroking the parts of his cock that George couldn't fit inside. He couldn't count the number of times he'd thought of this moment, and everything was better than he could have imagined. Harry moaned as George took him down again, licking around the base and bobbing his head.
"I said you need to keep quiet, Harry. I can't cast a silencing charm down here."
He grabbed one of the pillows near them and placed it over Harry's mouth. As George sucked on Harry's balls, Harry bit into the pillow, deafening his moans as George continued to work his magic.
"Are you close, Harry? I'm going to make you come, and then I'm going to take you upstairs and fuck you so hard. The charms work up there. There you can scream until you break the charm."
George's hand quickened its stroke as his tongue ventured further down, making contact with Harry's rim.
"I love the way you taste. Now that I have you, there's not going to be a day that passes where I don't taste you."
His tongue probed Harry's rim, and Harry's legs shook from the contact.
"You like that?"
George watched as Harry removed the pillow.
"George, I'm going to come."
"Do it."
He returned his mouth to Harry's cock.
"Come for me, Harry."
George smirked as Harry pulled the pillow tight over his face. His back arched and white spurts of cum flew into George's mouth and down his throat. George swallowed every drop, keeping his hands on Harry. George watched with a proud smile as Harry laid back with his eyes closed, trying to regain his breath.
"You good?"
"You just blew my brains out. Yeah, I'm good. Fucking fantastic, really."
George laughed, a loud, hearty one, before clasping his hands over his mouth in fear, worried he'd woken someone.
"Oh, shit,"
he whispered through his fingers and chuckled.
"We better get upstairs before someone comes down."
George nodded, standing up and extending an arm toward Harry, pulling him to his feet. Walking up the flights, giggling and whispering to each other, reminded George of when he was a kid, trying to catch the magic Christmas man the year Alicia told them about him, or when he and Fred were planning the perfect prank with Lee at Hogwarts. He felt giddy. He felt free. When they finally reached the door of George's and Harry's room, George opened the door and began to pull Harry through the threshold, but something held them in place.
George, look up.
He did as Harry said, saw the green leaves and shook his head.
This is Fred's idea, I'm assuming.
Or Ron's. He's been telling me to say something to you for months. I thought he was about to lock us in your dad's shed or something.
George laughed and looked down at Harry, and his insides softened. This man. He was finally his.
He cupped the back of Harry's head and pulled him in for a more than suitable kiss for the mistletoe to disappear.
Now, I believe I promised that I'd fuck you.
How nice that your brother's left us with only one bed. George's eyes widened and he turned. Sure enough, the usual twin beds were gone in place of one larger bed.
How nice of them indeed.
George pulled Harry inside the room, closed the door with a click, and cast several charms to ensure they'd have all the privacy they needed. George could get used to waking up like this. Harry's head was laid on his chest, glasses on the nightstand, and legs entwined with his. A plaid blanket messily draped over them, but George found more warmth in Harry's skin pressed against him. He almost thought it was a dream. But with every breath he watched Harry take, George was more and more grateful that it wasn't. His nails traced along Harry's back, causing Harry to hum in his sleep. He curled closer into George's body.
George.
George cursed under his breath as he felt himself grow harder. Truly, it was ridiculous that that was all it took, Harry saying his name, especially in his grumbled morning voice.
Harry.
Oi, wake up, you two. Get dressed and get downstairs for breakfast. Everyone's waiting.
Ron called from the other side of the door.
Well.
Also, Fred's voice joined in, you left your jumpers down here, so we all know you're shagging, so don't try and hide it.
Harry started shifting awake, his mouth open in a wide yawn and stretching his body to the full length of the bed.
Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Christmas.
George leaned down and kissed him. When Harry deepened the kiss, he was almost tempted to make his family wait longer. Just a few more minutes couldn't hurt. He could taste Harry one more time before...
Knock, knock, knock.
Get off my brother, Harry, and get your bums downstairs.
The newly minted couple looked at each other and laughed. A happy Christmas, indeed.